Amen. Now you feel the heat, right? If you feel the heat, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's see a little heat in there. Okay. Hey, listen, I hope you're having a great time with your family this Christmas season. I love the Christmas season. I love the month of December. November and December are my favorite times of the year. And it's just a great joy for me to be able to explain to my children the greatness of the coming of Messiah and the truth that surrounds us. I have great joy every other year to take one of my children with me to Israel and to let them see the shepherd fields there in Bethlehem, to understand what those shepherd fields would have looked like during the time that Messiah was born. And whether those are the fields or not the shepherds were in, we don't necessarily know. I know that over the last 7-8 years, things have changed. They got that big wall now going right through the middle of the shepherd fields. When we first used to go there, they were completely open and you could see shepherds out there with their sheep. And you can begin to visualize what it must have been like for those shepherds there on the hillside awaiting the coming of Messiah and the glory of the Lord shining all around them that night, that Christ was born. What a great joy it is to be able to explain to your children the essence of Messiah, who he is, what he did. Our whole life should be consumed with Christ. Unfortunately, our life is consumed with other things, but it should be consumed with Christ and his gospel. And our prayer that throughout this month of December, as you study the promises and prophecies of the coming Messiah, that you'd understand the significance of his coming and how it relates to you and your family. So important. I can't think of a greater legacy to leave with your children than the truth. You can leave them money. They're just going to spend it, probably unwisely, okay? You can leave them your house, your cars, all those material things. But if you don't leave them the truth, then the opportunity to pass a godly legacy down from generation to generation will be at stake. And that's the essence of our existence. So somehow explain to our children and our children's children the truth of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I think of my parents and what they passed down to me. I want to do likewise with my children, and I trust you want to do with yours as well. So today we're studying the promise and the prophecy of the coming shepherd. You know, the Bible describes Christ in many ways, many titles. And when you think about it, there are a numerous amount of titles that describe him. In fact, what I want you to do this morning is I want you to give me some titles of Christ in the scriptures. For instance, Christ is called our advocate, all right? He's called the Alpha and the Omega. He is called the chief cornerstone, all right? He's called many things. You give me some of the titles that are dearest to you about the Messiah. Just shout them out. God with us. Emmanuel. Wonderful counselor. Okay, one at a time. Well, yeah, you guys are going to overwhelm me. Wonderful counselor. Mighty God. The Lamb.
Faithful and true.
You got to yell it really loud so you can overcome the voice of somebody else. Say it. What is it? Savior of the world. Bright and morning star, Son of Man, Prince of Peace, Son of God.
There's a negative one. He's a stumbling
block. He's a stumbling block, that's right.
Bread of life.
King of Kings.
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. Someone said Lord of Lords, right. See, there are many titles that describe the Messiah. Titles that help us understand the essence of who he is. In what he did. Probably the most dearest title is shepherd. To understand the essence of his shepherding ministry. John 10, he says, I am the shepherd called good. The good shepherd. That's our Lord. And that's the title of today's lesson when it comes to our Jesse Tree devotional and looking at the promise of the coming Messiah and what he will do for his people. He will shepherd them. Let me talk to you, first of all, about the prediction about the coming of the shepherd. Turn back with me, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. And there's a promise, a prediction of the coming shepherd that would do for Israel what the under-shepherds, the leaders of Israel, were unable to accomplish for God's people. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse number 1, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, Thus says the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened. The diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity you have dominated them. And they were scattered for lack of a shepherd. And they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill, and my flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd, and my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I shall demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore. But I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be food for them." Then verse number 23, "Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." God has said, "I will raise up my shepherd. And my shepherd will be the servant, my servant David." That is, he will be in the line of the Messiah from the line of David. He will be the Messiah. Over in Ezekiel 37, the vision of the dry bones, God says this in verse 24, "And my servant David will be king over them, and they will have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them, and they shall live on the land that I gave to Jacob my servant, in which your fathers lived. And they will live on it, they and their sons' sons forever. And David, my servant, shall be their prince forever." All that speaks of the coming shepherd, the one shepherd, the Messiah, who will rule and reign over his people. Over in the book of Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 13, listen to what the Lord God says. He says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man, my associate, declares the Lord of hosts." This is a prophecy about the coming Prince of Peace. This is the prophecy of the coming shepherd. God says, against the man. This is not an ordinary man. This is an extraordinary man. This is a mighty man. It's a word used of the mighty God when describes his power and essence. And then it says, against my associate. The word associate means my equal. There is one who is equal in nature, who is my shepherd, who will come and he will shepherd my people. He will be the one to draw my people together. There was a prediction about the coming shepherd. The shepherd would be the Messiah. The Jews understood the essence of the shepherding ministry of the coming Messiah. In Ezekiel chapter 34, the indictment against the leaders of Israel is strong because they did not take care of the flock of God. So God says, because you didn't care for my people, I will send one who will care for them, who will nurture them, who will watch over them, who will love them, my shepherd, the Messiah. You know, when you think about it, God refers to his children Israel as his flock. When Christ said that he was the good shepherd, and we are the sheep, The analogy is fabulous because it truly helps us understand our condition. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way. And yet the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We are like sheep. And we need to understand a little bit about sheep so we can understand the ministry of the shepherd. You know, sheep need full-time supervision. I don't know if you know that or not. Most animals you can put in a fence and you can put some water in a bucket and give them some food to eat. And, you know, they can pretty much take care of themselves over time. But sheep, they cannot do that. They can't make it unless someone cares for them daily. They'll die. Why? Because sheep are untrainable. Did you know that? You can't train sheep. They don't remember what you taught them. You can't punish them and expect them to learn from that punishment. You can't reward them and expect them to learn from that reward. They are untrainable. When was the last time you saw a sheep at a circus? You know? Or on TV, that show Pet Star. You don't see any sheep on that. They can't be trained because they can't remember anything from day to day. They need full-time supervision. Sheep need full-time supervision because they're afraid to drink from running water. Did you know that? You can lead a sheep to a spring, and that spring has running water, but they won't drink from it. They're afraid. And that's why the shepherd has a crook, and that's why he has a rod, so he can build up rocks in that stream to cause there to be a calm pool of water so that sheep will drink. They'll die of dehydration rather than drink from running water. You also need to understand that sheep need full-time supervision because they have a natural tendency to follow a leader. You can't drive sheep. You can't attempt to move them by standing behind them and yelling and screaming and hitting them. They don't work that way. You have to lead them, and therefore they need to follow a leader, because if a sheep gets lost, because he can't remember, he cannot find his way home. You ever had a dog that got lost and came back home? Remember a story a long time ago, we had a cat, and the cat was gone for like a whole week. And so my wife was upset, so she went out and bought another cat. Lo and behold, the next couple of days, the old cat came home again. Now I got two cats, you know? Those kind of things happen, you know, and yet they can find their way home because they have a memory. Sheep do not. If they get lost, they're lost for good. They're not coming back. So they need someone to follow. They need full-time supervision. Sheep, because when they fall on their spine, they don't have any ability to get back up again. If a sheep falls over and lands on its back, it cannot get back up again. Someone must set it aright so that it can stand once again. And sheep need full-time supervision because they can't carry heavy loads. You know, a sheep's not like a donkey. It's not like a horse where you carry water on its back and you can go and take long trips. No, you can't do that. They have very weak backs. And so therefore the shepherd has to be able to move from place to place and lead them to a place where they can drink throughout the day, because he can't carry enough water to cause them to drink. So he has to be able to move them to a place where they can eat and they can drink all in one day because they can't carry anything. Sheep are absolutely defenseless. They lack an angry growl. They lack the kind of teeth that have the kind of bite that will run someone off. They have little spindly legs that really can't do much, and their hoofs are basically good for nothing except for standing up. See? And so they need full-time supervision. They need full-time supervision because when you put them into a fold, if a sheep is hungry, he will not or she will not lie down. If they're hungry, they will not lie down. If there is any kind of fly among them, they will not lie down. You ever been to the beach and there's a whole bunch of flies and you're kind of laying on the sand and all these flies, you just can't, have any peace because there's flies all around. Well, think of the sheep. They won't lie down if there are flies around them. They will not lie down if they are hungry. They will not lie down if there's any kind of friction between them and the shepherd or between them and the sheep. They will not lie down. And so that shepherd needs to tend to them at a full-time level in order to care for them. Do you know sheep don't clean themselves? They don't. They can't. Most dogs lick themselves. Cats lick themselves. They clean themselves. They have a way. Even birds can go to get a bird bath. I mean, they know what to do. Sheep don't. They don't clean themselves. They're just going to always remain dirty unless the shepherd cleans them. See? That's just the nature of sheep. And so the analogy becomes very real to us because as sheep, we are basically untrainable. We basically are lost when we get out there and we can't find our way back home. We need someone to lead us home. We are absolutely defenseless against the wiles of the devil. And if God doesn't provide for us the kind of protection that we need, we will succumb to his temptation. We are just like sheep, and we need to be led. And Christ is that great shepherd of the flock that kens and tends and cares for his people in order for them to understand his great love for them. But there was this prediction about the coming shepherd. All Israel would know it. Read the Old Testament. There's that constant analogy between the shepherd and the sheep. It's all throughout the Psalms. David, the great shepherd of Israel. Moses was the great shepherd of Israel. The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were shepherds of sheep. Why? Because of the great promise of the coming Messiah. Which leads us to number two, the presentation of that shepherd. The presentation of that shepherd. The presentation, of course, is in Bethlehem, right? Remember when the Magi came to Jerusalem? And they asked, where is he who was born king of the Jews? And Herod was the king. I'm the king. There's another king? There's only one king in Israel, and I'm the guy. So he sends for the scribes, the Pharisees, the scholars of the day. He says to them, is there going to be a king? A king that's going to rise in Israel? And the scribes say, well, there's a promise of the coming Messiah. And the king says, well, where is that? Well, that's in the book of Micah, 5th chapter, 2nd verse. There it says these words, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. The scribes knew that a shepherd was coming to rule Israel. They knew it was found in Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. They knew where he was going to be born. It was going to be born in Bethlehem. So why is it they didn't take the five-mile journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to see if the shepherd was there? And on that eve of his birth, when the shepherds had the glory of the Lord shine all around them, remember that? We ask ourselves, why is it the Lord would appear to shepherds first? Why is it they would be the ones who would receive the great angelic announcement? Why is it they would be the ones to be first at the place of the birth? And we say, well, it's because shepherds are a lowly class of people, and they are, and Christ would save the meek and the lowly. But it goes way beyond that. He appeared to shepherds first, symbolically, because he would become that great shepherd of the sheep. He would even in his own announcement to Bethlehem and to the nation of Israel, he would announce the very essence of his coming by going to shepherds, because he himself was that chief shepherd. And the ironic thing about it is that he would be born in Bethlehem, the place which is called Migdal Eder in the Old Testament, the Tower of the Flock, because it was there, the Tower of the Flock, where they would raise the sheep that would be slaughtered on Passover. So not only would the shepherd be born in Bethlehem, but the lamb would be born in Bethlehem. He was both the shepherd and the lamb. Both in one. And so that presentation came in a very significant way. And Peter even himself would refer to Christ as that chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he'd refer to him as the shepherd of our souls. And so the presentation of the shepherd, when Christ in John 10 said, "I am the good shepherd," he was declaring that he was the Messiah. He was the promised Messiah to Israel. All throughout the Old Testament, the coming of the chief shepherd, this one who would care for the flock of Israel, who would care, and tend God's people. Christ says, "I'm the one. I am the good shepherd." Which leads us to the perfection of that shepherd. The perfection of that shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Ego eimi, speaking of the fact that he is the great I am, referring all the way back to the book of Exodus, he was declaring that the good shepherd literally is God himself in the flesh. He says, "I am the good shepherd," the shepherd called good, kalos in the Greek, which is in essence the character of the one himself. And that character describes the perfection of this great shepherd of our souls. He is God in the flesh who attend and care for his people, which takes you all the way back to Zechariah chapter 13 to explain to you that when God the Father said, "Awake, my people Israel, because I will raise up my shepherd. He is the mighty man. He is my associate. He is my equal." That is, he is equal to me in nature. So Christ, when he gets up and says, "Look, I am the good shepherd," leads us to the passion of the shepherd. The passion of the shepherd. He says these words in John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." That phrase, to lay down, is a phrase characteristic of John and his epistles, the gospel. It speaks of the voluntary essence of his life. He was going to lay it down on his own initiative. Over in verse number 15, it says, "Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Verse 17, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again." Excuse me. "No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative." John 15, 13, Christ says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." That's the passion of the shepherd. He came to lay his life down. He came to die in your place. He came to take upon himself the penalty due you. He becomes your great substitute, which is the fulfillment of Genesis chapter 22. We look back as we talk about the prophecy of Abraham and Isaac and the lamb, where Christ said, "I would provide myself as a lamb." And Christ says, "I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life and I'll take it up again. No one takes it away from me. I'm going to lay it down. I determine when I die. I determine when I take my life back up again." He says, "I am going to lay down my life for you." That's my passion. He came to die. He came to bear your sin and my sin. That's the passion of the shepherd. Not only does he come to take care of his people, he comes to take care of them not only temporarily, but ultimately eternally. He comes to lay himself down for those who cannot pay the price of their sin. He is that great shepherd, the good shepherd, who died for you and me. So we've seen the prediction of the shepherd, or about the shepherd. We've seen the presentation of the shepherd, the perfection of the shepherd, the passion of the shepherd, and now the protection of the shepherd. John 10, verse number 7, Christ says, I am the door of the sheep. You know, because shepherds couldn't make their way back to the village a lot of times, they had to make their own fold. So what they would do would build up rocks and use some mud to keep the sheep together. And then the entryway, they would lie down in front of the entryway. They would be the door. And as they would bring the sheep into the fold, he, the shepherd, would inspect each and every sheep. You know, sheep just need a little pat on the head each day, and they'll be just fine. That's all they need. Just a little touch from the shepherd, and they're fine. And that shepherd would guide them into that fold that he would make for them, and he would examine each of them to see if there was any bruises or marks upon them that he would have to anoint, that he would protect them, and he would let them into that fold, and then he would lay down in front of that fold to protect them, see, because he was the great protector of their lives. And Christ says, I am the door. I am that door. I am that one who lays down my life. I am the one who lays down in front of that gate. I am the one that allows you entry into my fold. And I will protect you while you're there. That's the essence of our eternal security. That's the essence of what God does for his people. And then I want you to notice the provision of the shepherd. Psalm 23. Psalm 23, you know that psalm very well, but it's that great shepherd's psalm which speaks of his great provision. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is the provision of the shepherd. He provides for your every need. He provides for you in such a way that you no longer want anything else. See, the great thing about God is that he is so in tune with all of our needs that he knows exactly how to take care of us, so our longings will be taken care of. I am the good shepherd, and because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. Anything. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I shall not lack any provision. I shall not lack any peace. Why? Because he leads me beside quiet waters. I shall not lack restoration or encouragement when I faint or fail. Why? Because he restores my soul. I shall not lack guidance. I shall not lack fellowship. Why? Because he guides me in the paths of righteousness. I shall not lack courage when my way is dark, because even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. I shall not lack companionship. Why? Because thou art with me. I will never lack, comfort, because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I will never lack protection, because thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I will not lack power, because thou hast anointed my head with oil. I shall not lack abundance, because my cup overflows. I shall not lack God's perpetual presence, because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall not lack security, because I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Everything you need, God gives. He ultimately gives the greatest of all needs, the forgiveness of sins, because he becomes our substitute. That's the goodness of the shepherd. That's his protection. That's his provision for us. As our shepherd, he provides for our every need. And lastly, I want you to notice with me the promise of the shepherd. The promise of the shepherd. You know, we're prone to wander, aren't we? All we like sheep have gone astray. We're prone to stray away. And without that shepherd, the guardian of our soul, protecting us and providing for us and watching over us to lead us, to love us, to lay down his life for us, we have nothing. But listen to these words in Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7, verse number 17. When the Lord God speaks to John the apostle, helps him understand the greatness of eternity. For this reason, verse number 15, they are before the throne of God and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne shall spread his tabernacle over them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall they see the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne shall be their shepherd and shall guide them to springs of the water of life, and God shall wipe every tear from their eye. Our Lord God says that the Lamb in the center of his people is their shepherd, their guide, their protector. The promise that God gives his people is his perpetual presence throughout all eternity to lead us and guide us. It's just not a one-time kind of operation. It's a continual thing. It's a lifelong thing, because the essence of God is that he's a shepherd. And as a shepherd, he protects, he provides, he watches over, he feeds, he leads, because that's what shepherds do. And the great promise of the shepherd is that throughout all eternity, that will be his ministry to us. And I wonder this morning if you understand the goodness of the shepherd. I wonder if you understand how it is that you can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I wonder if you've come to realize that he is the feeder of your life, the protector of your life. That's who God is. That's his promise. And as a child of his, one of his sheep, I need God to watch over me day by day. I need God to lead me and guide me every moment of every day, because I can't make it without him. I'd be lost without my shepherd. And I wonder if you can say today, the Lord is my shepherd. Not that he is a shepherd, but that he's my shepherd. That he is the one who laid down his life for me. He is the one who became my substitute. He is the one who died in my place. Therefore, I'm able to live with him forever. I can be a part of his flock because I know him personally. I hope that's your desire today, if you don't know him, and that you might come to saving grace this morning by realizing that Jesus Christ is that great shepherd of your soul. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for today, the opportunity you give us to live for you. And our prayer, Lord, is that we as your people would honor and glorify your great and precious name. You truly are the great shepherd of our souls. You truly are the chief shepherd of our lives. The writer of Hebrews calls you the great shepherd who rose again from the dead. We thank you, Lord, that we can call you our very own shepherd. If someone's here today and they are unable to do so, I pray, God, that you would show them how you are the only one who can clean their lives. Sheep can't clean themselves. They have to be cleaned by the shepherd. We can't save ourselves. We have to be saved by the Savior of our soul. We thank you, Lord, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.